The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
And welcome back to the Business News Hour. Thanks for being with us on this afternoon as you drive around or home, hopefully. And stay safe out there, would you please? With us in studio is Aaron Lehman. Now, he's the president, by the way, of the National Farmers Union, Iowa. And the Iowa Farmers Union has been around since 1915, so it's well over 100 years old. Yet, I suspect few Iowans know about this group of family farmers who say they're committed to strengthening the independent family farm through education, legislation, cooperation, and to provide Iowans with sustainable production alternatives. Aaron, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
I've followed National Farmers Union for some time.
Very good.
Yeah, back in my farming days a long time ago. But it's really an interesting organization that is different from some other farm groups. How was all this established? What's the genesis of NFU?
Well, it all started back well over 100 years ago in a very small little town in Texas. And at that time, the farmers there were finding that they were not getting fair compensation for their product, largely because they couldn't even get a fair weight for the commodities they were producing. Back then, it was in Texas, it was probably cotton and other things, because they didn't the places where they had few places to sell their product. And the places who would buy their product own the scales. And there wasn't even a fair way to know if that scale was the same scale that they were using back on their farm. And so they figured out that they needed to work together. Now, farmers back then and farmers now were very independent. We have to be very gritty, independent-minded just to survive. So getting farmers to work together, we need
it's
to
kind
show
of tough, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. And I can completely relate to that on my own farm. But there are times when we know that we're better off by working together.
Uh-huh.
And that started the Farmers Union.
So what were they demanding some fairness and equity in the pricing and the measuring of their crop?
That's right. Not only in the manner that it was weighed and sold, but also it started because the farmers wanted to know that the markets that they were receiving reflected supply and demand, reflected a real marketplace, and wasn't being overly influenced just because there were few players in the marketplace.
Now, if my history serves correctly, and I didn't look this up, I'm doing this from memory.
Yeah.
But if I remember correctly, the National Farmers Union was not opposed to some civil disobedience from time to time.
Well, and there were a number of groups over the years that were in that situation. We were not one of the more notorious groups as far as dealing with market surpluses. You know, we weren't
putting milk on the ground and things like that, right?
But our farmers have always believed that we need to figure out what to do with inventories. And we still do. You know, we have inventories now that are driving the cost of corn way below the cost of production. But yet our policies are putting no brakes on it at all. Produce more and more and more are the signals we're getting from our policy. And we ought to at least have policy that has some common sense in that regard, and we put in measures that at least moves us in the right direction.
And what would some of those measures be, Aaron?
Well, historically, the Farmers Union has always worked for when we have times of plenty to have a reserve. Of course, the reserve is a concept from biblical times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a lot, put aside some. So that you have
time. So you don't sell it all. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. And then when times are tough, you still have some. That way it all moves towards a common good for the society that way. Now, in a modern marketplace, we can't do it the same way we did years ago. We can't do it the same way we did 30 years ago. But there ought to be ways to say that there are policy signals in place so that when we need to produce more, we can produce more. And when we need to control those inventories and bring some sanity to the marketplace so that we're not producing at such a loss like we are now, ought to be able to send those signals as well.
So this in some instances, some people could say, "Well, this sounds like price fixing. You're trying to fix the prices on stuff." Well, and in reality, I guess that is partly it. If you can withhold some of the crop going to market, then you create a shortage, and that shortage then tends to drive up prices. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, that's very
generally
true. Very true. And of course, every industry we have takes market signals and decides to produce more or produce less. But we have thousands of independent farmers here in Iowa and around the country, and it's very hard for those signals to all mesh together when there are so many independent players out there. So instead, what do? We need to rely on one another, and we need to rely on sound policy. So, we I'll bring up a couple of examples.
Sure, please.
With the current farm bill debate, we feel strongly that those benefits ought to be targeted towards family-sized producers, small and medium-sized.
Rather than corporate farms.
Yeah, and if someone wants to farm half the county, that's fine. We're not going to restrict that. But should our subsidy really go to encourage that? Should our subsidies go to subsidize insurance for that? Nah, it makes more sense to be targeting our benefits towards those independent producers that we really want to prioritize. So those are some ways that I think we can do some things that tell us we need to have a policy that really reflects the type of production we want to have here in Iowa and the type of independent network of producers we want to have here in
Iowa. We're speaking with Aaron Lehman, ladies and gentlemen. He's the president of the Iowa Farmers Union, established way back in 1915. Wouldn't one way to help control the market, if you have, one of the things that I don't know many people understand, but farmers are kind of caught in this deal where you create a crop that you have absolutely no direction or no ability to set the price.
That's right.
You're growing something that you have no ability to control.
That's
the
right.
Environment. I mean, so, those kinds of things all play a part.
That's right.
And then you're selling it to businesses, which are cooperative ventures out there that own the elevator, own the transportation mechanisms, own the fertilizer, so it's an amazing business. It really is. And sometimes I sit and wonder, if many of the folks that are listening here in the greater Des Moines metro are listening to this voice and they say, what? You have to buy a $650,000 machine to get the stuff out of the ground? What, are you crazy? How do you do that?
Yeah.
Yet we say that we are very pro agriculture. We're very pro farmer. We say all those things, but yet we are addicted to cheap food.
Yeah, that's very much the case. And we feel really strongly that our policies ought to reflect a food system that we want to support.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we are so adamant that good farm bills ought to have a nutrition title. Good farm bills ought to have a good conservation title. Good farm bills ought to have a competition title so that farmers have some fairness and equity in the marketplace, which is largely controlled by a few massive agribusinesses.
Right.
So therefore, we need some parts of the farm bill which address those competition issues so that there's fairness that farmers can.
Now, most of your members, from what I can gather, are family-owned farmers,
yes,
family-owned
right.
businesses.
Very much
so. Yeah. About how large?
Oh, well, it varies in size. Mm-hmm. We have members who have many thousands of acres, but we have farmers who are farming in their backyard.
Yeah.
And they're connecting to those local and regional food systems, and they're doing great stuff by connecting directly to consumers.
And we've seen a lot of that, the CSAs that are out there. We've seen so many restaurants here in the greater Des Moines metro that are taking advantage of farm-to-table opportunities.
Right.
And those have been really sustainable options for many of these farmers who are perhaps farming 10, 15, 20 acres or so.
Well, and here we are in the breadbasket of the world. And how much of our food comes from somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't make sense. We want to support our local farmers. And if you look at the statistics of what's happening to the number of farmers according to their age and size. And
getting older.
It's getting older. And size-wise,
getting larger.
The very big ones are getting larger. The ones in the middle are shrinking.
Right.
But there are increasing number of small farmers.
It was interesting. You're absolutely right. At the latest farm census that I saw, absolutely saw an indicator that said there are more farms in the United States than what there were the last farm census.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And a lot of new and beginning farmers are finding their way into the industry by connecting to those local and regional food networks, and they're connecting with consumers. And we feel that the more connections we can make with consumers, all farmers benefit. Mm-hmm. If we get consumers more engaged with their food, that will help all of us, whether we're one of those farmers that farm a couple thousand acres or one of those farmers who are farming in their backyard.
Speaking of acres, we had a news story just last week that the price of Iowa farmland increased by 2% for the first time in several years.
Right.
And so that had a lot of people scratching their heads a little bit. But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, our assumption is two things. One was out-of-state individuals buying up acreages here in Iowa as a tax shelter or as a place to park money.
Yep.
The other thing is we continue to take more and more land out of production so that we are creating more city. For example, last month, Apple said, hey, we're buying 2,000 acres of prime farm ground in Waukee, taking it out of production. We're not making any more land. So somewhere along the line, you would think that the price of these commodities is going to have to go up.
Yeah. And I think what also is happening is that, you know, when the prices of our commodities have been low for a long time. And the amount of land that has hit the market in response to that has gone down as well. And so that's kind of curbed the decrease in farmland prices that we saw in other parts of the state, as well as those experiencing urban pressure. The signals for land prices aren't good when commodity prices have such a long depressed history. We're going to have the fourth year in a row with lower farm income here in Iowa. And the expenses that farmers pay have just not gone down as fast.
Of course they haven't gone down. I mean, you talk about a ton of fertilizer. It's still, you know, it's still on the increase.
Well, and it we know that there's a lag, but as a result, we're hearing from our farmers that there are a lot of folks who are treading water. They're putting off purchases. They're cutting their expenses wherever they can. But we're not in a long-term sustainable situation economically.
So. How has technology been helpful toward farmer? I mean, precision planting and those types of things. Precision not only planting but also knowing where to apply fertilizer, where not to apply fertilizer.
Sure.
How has that helped?
Oh, yeah. And farmers are very quick to adapt.
Oh, very quick.
To those things. And that's been wonderful for farmers to stay on top of those things. But in addition to that, we're seeing a lot of innovation in farming and in trying to deal with how to improve our land and water, our landscape and water. We know that we have big challenges in Iowa. The Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy points those out. And there are a lot of innovations that have been made over the years to help us deal with those issues as well. Unfortunately, we were kind of caught in a bad situation this past spring where one of our leading innovators here in Iowa, the Leopold Center.
They had their funding cut.
Had their funding cut right at a time when we need those innovations more than ever. We need practical research that farmers use, that is tested by farmers and vetted by farmers. That's the type of innovation we can't afford to back out on either. So we're really hopeful that there'll be solutions for us to keep those innovations for sustainable farming coming for Iowa's farmers.
It's a fascinating career. How many generations of your family has been involved in this?
I'm the fifth generation on our farm. My kids are coming back from school on Christmas break. If they choose to come back to the farm, they'll be the sixth generation. And our farm is not quite 150 years old yet. But
you're getting there.
Just another year or two.
Good for you. Aaron Lehman, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the National Farmers Union. How related or how we have Practical Farmers of Iowa, which is out there, good friends of ours. Also, NFO, National Farmers Organization. How related are all you guys?
Well, they're officially not related at all. They're all distinct organizations. And NFO has concentrated very well on collective bargaining and for farmers, and I'm a proud member of NFO, and Practical Farmers of Iowa brings all sorts of innovation to farmers.
Very interesting group.
Yeah, and I'm a member of them too. And
very good.
And I tell you, they're both really valuable groups. And farming is a complicated business, and it's good we have people working on the different aspects.
Yeah, farming, exactly. Farming is a complicated business, and it also really is so important that that we don't lose sight of how it has sustained families for generations.
That's right, and those families have they tend to support their local businesses, their local churches, their local schools. If we don't have that bedrock in our rural areas of Iowa, for rural parts of America, it's impossible for those rural communities to thrive.
Yeah. As you indicated, we've seen the fourth year of depressed prices out there, and that's depressed farm economy, and that's depressed rural Iowa as well
that's
as
right.
rural America. And we see it all over the places. Many of these communities that are within the sound of this radio station have seen their populations deteriorate dramatically over the past 10 or 12 years.
That's very true. And so that we have these huge challenges that we're facing. But you know, I'm always encouraged by the number of young people who are optimistic about agriculture and want to find their own path. They have that independence. They have that grit. They are determined that they can make a difference not only on their farm, but their farm can make a positive difference in their community and for their environment. That's really encouraging. And so I think there is a room out there for optimism, but we are in a precarious time. Our farmers feel it every day. All the more reason for us to work together.
Yep. His name is Aaron Lehman, ladies and gentlemen. He is with the National Farmers Union. Thanks so much for doing this.
I certainly do
appreciate it. I suspect there's lots of folks out there that are going, wait, this is one of those farm organizations we haven't necessarily heard about. And if you missed all or part of this conversation with Aaron, it will be up on our radio broadcast blog and podcast here very, very shortly. Thanks so very much for doing this.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, speaking about markets, we've got to turn our attention to find out what happened today on Wall Street. What happened to those markets? I can tell you, earlier in the day, you know, it was a good day, so to speak, on Wall Street. And then traders kind of stepped back. They're saying, okay, what's going to happen with this tax cut bill? Then they took a look at technology stocks. And then when Apple got a ding today, it all fell apart. We'll share all of that information with you when we come back on the Tuesday edition of the Business News Hour.